Welcome to Catalyst at Home. We're so honored you decided to join us. And today we're actually going to be wrapping up the fourth part of our relationship goals series. And today is actually the second part of our message on marriage.
We hope you enjoyed it so far. If you have not yet, we'd encourage you to subscribe to our YouTube channel. I also have a podcast, a way to stay up to date for any of the messages that you may miss. And Catalyst family, we love coming to you each and every week. Being able to connect online during this season. If you're new to Catalyst, go ahead and text Catalyst to 94,000. We'd love to connect with you. Love to send you a gift this week to say thank you for joining us today. Also, church, mark your calendars. October 24th, Saturday at 4 o'clock, we will be gathering that evening for outdoor worship. Now listen, if you were not at the last service, we are taking all the precautions that have been given to us locally, as well as by the CDC. We will have socially distanced spaces marked out per household. Face coverings will be required. We're going to have a great time worshiping together. I know for me, when I came last month, we worshiped together. There was something powerful about worshiping together in person again. And we're going to be doing it again as well afterwards, having an after party with Food Truck. And it's going to be a great time to come. Bring somebody with you. It'll be a great opportunity to invite someone in your life to experience church. And we'll have, as last time, a shorter service with some time to hang out afterwards. It's going to be a great, great time. Did you have a great time last time, Christina?
I did. And I love the food.
The food is amazing, and this upcoming one, we're going to have some empanadas from Empanadas de Mendoza, a food truck owned by two of our Catalyst members, so it's going to be a great, great time that evening. Also, if you haven't yet, jump into a group. There's still some time. In fact, this month, we're still having, actually, for as far as marriage even speaking-wise, we have a newlywed course. We have a marriage night group and a love talk group. So if you're either engaged to be married or you're married, we have some groups for you. Get connected. We all need relationships. We have also groups for singles. Whatever season of life you're in, there's a group for you. There's still time to jump in. Go to our website under the groups section. As Christina mentioned, we are jumping in today to a fourth installment of our relationship goal series. And we've entitled today's conversation, Fight Fair. Fight Fair. I was reminded as we were speaking about fights, and when Christina and I got married, something we learned was that we had a different approach to conflict. Christina would be, maybe you've heard this phrase before, some people are fight or flight, right? When there's conflict arise, some people will like just dig in. They want to duke it out. Come on. Some people are like, let me get away from that. I need a moment. And Christina, you can nod your head if you agree. She's more of a fighter. You can tell she's pretty rough. And I'm more of a flighter. And I need to process what I'm going to say before I say it. And so early in our marriage, we had some moments where it became a tension point because we would have disagreement and she wants to dig in and resolve it right now. Or I'm like, I need some time to think about it. And thankfully, with the help of some mentors in our life, we learned some tools to be able to address it. But maybe you found yourself there. Come on. In fact, even in the chat section, if you are a fighter, come on, throw up some fists. Come on, somebody. Maybe you're a flighter. You can throw up the running man. Come on. We all can have problems arise. And here's the reality, that if you're human and you're in relationship, and let me just say this, we're going to come with the angle of marriage, but if you are single or you're dating, this can apply really to any relationship. These are just conflict resolution techniques. But here's the reality, that if you are married, you are dating, you are engaged, the person you're with, you will have disagreements, you will have arguments, because here's the reality. You're human. You're imperfect. You're going to have those moments. In fact, conflict's actually healthy. It's actually really healthy. So we need to learn how to fight fair, how to resolve conflict in a healthy way. And I think it's so important, especially in the season we find ourselves in. In fact, they have found in studies that marriage conflict and even divorce is increasing during this season of COVID. You add on to that, even to speaking relationships in general, people are socially distanced and isolated, that and how unhealthy that is for us emotionally and relationally. And I want to encourage you, if you can just lean in for a moment, remain connected. While you are physically distant, remain connected to people in this season. It is so, so important for your spiritual health, your emotional health, and your relational health. But hey, before we dive in today, let's pray. Father, we just thank you for the opportunity we have to dive into your word. And God, we just ask you would speak to us. Maybe a light to our feet, a lamp to our feet, a light to our path. May you speak through our words today, God. We love you. We honor you. Posture our heart and our mind to receive from you in Jesus' name. Amen. We want to start first by sharing three different causes of conflict. Now, there may be other causes as well, but these are three causes that we specifically want to reference and just some guidance that we see in God's word as well. So if you're taking notes, write these down. Here's the first one, and that is poor communication. Come on, Psalms 141:3 says, set a guard over my mouth, Lord. Keep watch over the door of my lips. Come on, that's a prayer some of you need to pray. Come on, somebody. Set a guard on my mouth. Keep watch over the door of my lips. Come on. Have you ever had that moment in a conversation? Come on. Maybe a little bit of heated fellowship. Maybe you heard that in church growing up, a little bit of that. That you have those moments where you say something you wish you didn't say. Come on, you wish there was a string attached to that word and you could pull it right on back. Or maybe even, probably maybe your communication tension in your relationship, maybe a lack of communication. Back true story, Christina and I, when we first got married, I was not the greatest communicator, to be honest. She was all about calendars and plans, and I kind of went with the flow. So I remember when we first got married, I would set up, you know, a meeting with a friend of mine, and then she would say, hey, tomorrow night, that same night, I've set up a time to hang out with this great couple. And I'm like, I can't do that. I already have something planned. Come on. Since then, I have since invested in many calendars, because I love my wife, but I don't know that my lack of communication led to tension in our marriage. I would even encourage you on a side note, and maybe just as from a man to man, speak to the men out there, be intentional about communicating and not to create a broad stroke. It can be on both sides, but I have found, and even in counseling couples, that a lot of times as men, we can be the ones who are not communicating enough. So make sure, listen, here's what I found. Even when you're communicating enough, you haven't communicated enough. Come on, I'm helping somebody's marriage right now. But come on, poor communication can be a cause of conflict.
Yeah, the second reason would actually be unfulfilled expectations. James 4:1-3 in the Message version, which is really a paraphrase. I love the way that it says this. So where do you think all these appalling wars and quarrels come from? Do you think they just happen? Think again. They come about because you want your own way and you fight for it deep inside yourselves. You lust for what you don't have and you are willing to even kill for it. You want what isn't yours and will risk violence to get your hands on it. You know, it is so important that we understand we all come to the table. We all come to marriage with expectations around conflict. You know, as someone who really battles high expectations, not only for myself, but those around me, and particularly my spouse, you know, I came to marriage with some expectations that we would never fight, right? Completely unrealistic. And all the married people said, yeah, right, right? There is no way. But I had this kind of understanding. I think it was probably too many chick flicks as a single woman who wanted, you know, the romance and going from kind of mountaintop to mountaintop, scene to scene, if you will, and kind of not really understanding all of the life that happens in the valley that aren't kind of these romantic high points. And, you know, early in our marriage, before we had these guardrails, I just had unrealistic expectations. And every time we would actually fight or get into an argument or a disagreement, I would think, oh no, like we're not going to make it. We're not going to make it because, you know, couples that are healthy, they don't fight. And that's kind of the grid that I had. And the truth is that, like Jeremy mentioned, is that conflict is actually inevitable. And it's actually really healthy if you do it with some guardrails and with some tools. And we hope to unpack that a little bit more. But the truth is that we live in a fallen world. None of us are perfect. And without God's help, the Holy Spirit's help, it's impossible to get along well. But with his help, all things are possible. And he gives us some guidelines for doing that. And we hope to really unpack that today. Colossians 3, 12 through 14. Again, the Message version says it this way. So, chosen by God for this new life of love, dress in the wardrobe God picked out for you. Compassion, kindness, humility, quiet strength, and discipline. Be even-tempered, content with second place. I'm going to read that again. Be even-tempered, content with second place. Quick to forgive an offense. Forgive as quickly and completely as the Master forgave you. And so really, Jesus has modeled what it looks like. He forgave us first, and he continues to forgive us as we bring our sins to him. And in the same way, he wants us to do that. It says, regardless of what else you put on, wear love. It's your basic all-purpose garment, and never be without it. You know, we cannot expect our spouses to fulfill what only God can. That's another trap of the enemy, is when we believe that our spouse is actually going to fulfill this deep void on the inside of us. And the truth is, we're just not designed that way. That God hole, that God-sized hole, was only designed by the Creator himself for intimate communion with him and him alone. And so while the marriage relationship is a benefit, it's a beautiful thing that he also created the institution of marriage for this companionship. He never meant for that to take the place or fulfill it in the way that he can. Psalms 107:9 says, for he satisfies the longing soul, and the hungry soul he fills with good things. You know, Jeremy early on called us out. He called me out on my high expectations of him. And to be honest, you know, I had, again, unrealistic expectations that we were going to be in constant communication, even all day when we're working apart. I thought we were going to be, somehow we were going to be able to do it. And it was going to be this, everything leading to these intimate, deep conversations of our heart, pouring out our heart. I love the deep connections. And, you know, he was a practicing psychologist at the time. And so he listened to people all day long. And that was the last thing that he wanted to do when we would come home from a long day of work. All I wanted to do was connect intimately in conversation. Yes, and I said in conversation, gentlemen. But he was done for the day. And so you can see where this would lead to conflict. And it took me really redirecting that in some honest conversations together, that really, you know, it was hard to hear that he couldn't fulfill that, but he was right. He was actually leading me spiritually as his wife into point, taking it to God. And through that, here's the good news. God created us for constant communication and intimacy with him. And as I did that, it just got so much sweeter. And you know what happened? Inevitably, I stopped looking for Jeremy for those things because he was never intended to fill those.
So the point taken, interpretation, stop watching rom-coms and watch football. Come on. No, moving on. The last and final cause we want to make mention of is despising differences. Mark 3:25, if a house is divided against itself, the house cannot stand. You know, oftentimes what can happen is when we're dating, our differences can often be what attracts us, right? Like you're spontaneous and you love that they're a planner. Come on. Like you're a homebody and you love that they're an adventurer. Come on. Like, you know, you like Pepsi, they like Coke. Whatever it is. You're attracted to the differences, but oftentimes we're not careful. The characteristic that you thought completes you now irritates you. The very thing you loved, you now hate. Come on, like you thought, like, man, I loved their adventurous spirit, but now I just want to be home one night of the week. Come on, somebody. And maybe the adventurous person's like, come on, I just want to leave the house every once in a while, right? And let me just cause you to lean in. Those differences, God gives us, allows those differences to happen to disciple us, to develop us into becoming into his image. So lean into those. In fact, in all of my just years of counseling couples, pre-marriage, after marriage. There's never been a moment where I've met a couple where everything, they were like similar. Like there's always been differences in personality, how they handle money. One's a homebody, one's an adventurer. And here's what I always encourage is lean into those differences. You know, when Christina and I got married, I was kind of more spontaneous. I was not very much into planning. And Christina is the planner's planner. Come on. She has a planner for her planner. Come on, somebody. And I like to be spontaneous. And when we got married, like I was so attracted to it when we were dating. I was like, man, look at, she has like a calendar. She's getting some things done. Like, this is cool. Like, this is awesome. So then we got married. And I'll never forget one Saturday morning I woke up and I saw a schedule on a Saturday. I said, what is this? Saturdays are for spontaneity. She said, yeah, I'm all about spontaneity. Planned spontaneity. I'm like, planned spontaneity is not spontaneity. It's either spontaneity or planning. It can't be both. I now have a planner. So that's the moral of the story. No, but the very thing is, I do have a planner. She's become more spontaneous. I've become more of a planner. We've allowed our differences to develop us. Initially, it created tension. It created some issues, but we allowed them to develop us and to strengthen us. I want to challenge you to do so. In fact, we're in the middle of a football season, and let me just speak to that. You know, when you look at a football team, not every person on the team is over 300 pounds. Come on, like on the offensive line, you just need five guys right there to be 300 pounds, right? You need like a taller, faster guy to be the wide receiver, a shorter, stockier guy to be the fullback. You need somebody who's tall and who can throw the ball well as a quarterback. It's their differences that actually help make them better. And that's the same in your marriage, that you actually, your differences make you better. You both are better together. So with that said, we want to share with you just simply three steps. Three steps for how we can fight fair. Let's read James chapter 1, verse 19 and 20, two quick scriptures. It says, everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to become angry, because human anger does not produce the righteousness that God desires. From these two verses, we're going to give you three simple applications of how you can fight fair. Here's number one, that is to stop and listen carefully. Stop and listen carefully. I'm going to share with you, I believe, three people you need to listen to in the context of conflict. Here's the first one. You need to listen to yourself. James 4, chapter 1. What is causing the quarrels and fights among you? Don't they come from the evil desires within you? You need to first listen to yourself. What's actually going on the inside of you in the midst of conflict? If you're feeling anger arise, you're feeling frustration arise. Here's what I have found, even personally, even in talking to others. In fact, even in marriage counseling. But a lot of times what can happen is the anger or frustration may be actually bigger than the moment. Let me give you some examples. That perhaps you got frustrated because of the tone of voice she used in the conversation. But perhaps the reason that tone of voice that she used created such a strong reaction in you because that tone of the voice reminds you maybe of a past relationship, maybe of the tone of voice one of your parents used that maybe created great kind of emotional wounding on the inside of you. Maybe his emotional absence at home creates such a strong reaction. It's because your father was also emotionally absent at home, and it created perhaps some emotional wounding over the years. Listen, past hurt can aggravate present conflict. And I've advised many couples to do this. They'll come in to maybe kind of talk, kind of, you know, get couples guidance. And I'll even advise, I think you may actually need to seek some professional counseling for yourself personally to work through some things in your past. And I would encourage you, as you examine what is really going on underneath the surface when I find myself getting angry. Psalms 4:4, the psalmist writes, do not sin by letting anger control you. Think about it overnight and remain silent. Listen, anger is a fruit. Deal with it at the root. The anger, the frustration, that moment, kind of, you want to dig a little bit deeper. What's actually going on? What could be causing this that's happening? I remember some years ago, we were having a conversation, and I had actually gotten kind of felt kind of some frustration rise up towards Christina about something she had said in a conversation. And I took the moment to pause and really kind of dig. Like, okay, this is the fruit. What's the root? And what I found was the root was still a hurt from a previous relationship. And I realized that God was revealing that's a place he still wants to do some healing. So I want to encourage you, listen, even in that moment, oftentimes your reaction may be far bigger than the present conflict, the present moment there in that situation. So listen to yourself. Number two is listen to God. James 1:21, the next scripture. He says, get rid of all moral filth and the evil that's so prevalent and humbly accept the word planted in you, which can save you. Can I say this? Humbly accept the word of God in you. It could actually save your marriage. You need to listen to God. You need to listen to his word. Listen, peace does not come from the absence of conflict. Peace comes from the presence of Jesus. It comes from God's spirit. It comes from God's word. It comes from him, and you need God. You need to listen to what God says. That's why it's so important that you read the word of God. Every single day, you get into the word of God. Go on the YouVersion Bible app. Jump in a reading plan if you're not in one. Read the word of God every single day. Listen to Sunday messages several times a week. I know some folks have told me, like around Wednesday or Thursday, they'll re-listen to the message to get some more out of it. Why? Because they're trying to sit under the word of God, receive the word of God in their life. Also, get around the people of God. God will often speak through his people. There's been so many times I've been in a group and somebody said something and it was God speaking through them for a word for me. I'm telling you, community groups, we encourage you to get in them for multiple reasons. And one of those reasons is God will speak through your group for you. I always encourage couples and groups, say, hey, listen, I encourage people. Hey, take notes. When you feel like God is highlighting something, somebody something says that kind of resonates, write it down. It might be God's word for you. Even recently, we had a disagreement, and I kind of walked away, and literally about maybe 77 seconds afterwards, I felt the Spirit of God say, you need to turn around, just very lovingly, apologize to Christina. And I first kind of had a conversation with the Spirit of God. Come on, are you sure you mean right now to her? Can I tell you, I was so glad I did. Be sensitive to the voice of God. Listen to God. And then here's the last one, is listen to your spouse. 1 Peter 3:8. Finally, all of you should be of one mind. Sympathize with each other. Love each other as brothers and sisters. Be tenderhearted. Keep a humble attitude. On a side note, remember that your spouse is not just your spouse. She is a daughter of God. He is a son of God. Just a side note to think in those lenses as well, that you are, how you treat them is how you're treating God's child. That word sympathize with each other, that word sympathize literally means to feel as the other person feels, to put yourself in their shoes. Even just not long ago, there was one particular day, I had a long day just on different meetings, different things for work, and Christina was at home kind of balancing the work and kids, and I remember that it was kind of towards after the dinner time, and she was like, hey, Jeremy, can you bathe the kids, read them books, and put them to bed? And in a moment, I was thinking to myself very selfishly, like, I got stuff I got to do. So I got a little bit frustrated. But then I stopped myself. I don't always get this right, so pray for Christina. But I stopped myself, and I put myself into her shoes. I thought about all that she was balancing that day, all that she was doing. And can I tell you, it brought me peace, and it brought us peace in that moment. Why? Because I didn't react out of my feeling in the moment. I saw it from her perspective. Gary Chapman, he's Dr. Gary Chapman, an author around marriage. He says, the most common mistake couples make while trying to resolve conflicts is to respond before they have the full picture. Can I encourage you this? Seek first to understand, not respond. Seek first to understand. Maybe even think through their day. Think through their week. Maybe think through, oh, they had that big meeting at work. Think through, oh, we had that big report he was submitting. Think through, oh, that, I know it's been a rough day with the kids, or one child's been sick. Or think through, put yourself, seek first to understand before you respond.
And the second point is guard your words faithfully. Proverbs 21:23 says, watch your tongue and keep your mouth shut. and you will stay out of trouble. And that's the New Living Translation, because it just says it like it is. And we want to give you some guidelines to guard your words faithfully, because it is very easy to use our words to tear each other down and to kind of throw more fuel on the fire, if you will. And the first one is to, you know, just choose to never call names, especially the negativity that comes along with that. Proverbs 18:21 says, "The tongue has the power of life and death, and those that love it will eat of its fruit." You know, we have the power to either create our worlds and shape our worlds with the words that we use. And we've talked about that at Catalyst before, just how important our words are. You know, God spoke the world into existence, and he has given us that same power that raised Christ from the dead. We're made in his image. And so we also are called to speak life to things. And so when we allow our emotions to drive us and just our flesh, we're not as mindful about what is coming out of our mouths. And how many know, like, your spouse and what they say about you really does shape you. And so it is one of the most important voices in your life. And so it's so incredible, as it is up to us, that we choose to use words to build one another up. So I'm going to ask you a couple just reflective questions that you can think about today. What are you speaking in anger and emotion that might actually be perpetuating the very behavior that is getting on your nerves? What are you saying about it? And here's an even deeper question is, what are you thinking about? Because whatever is in your heart comes out of your mouth, and it all starts with a thought, and that thought, mulled over and pondered and chewed on, gets into our hearts. And then before you know it, you know, nasty attitudes are coming out, and, you know, sharp behaviors and just things that are not loving and they're not kind. And so this happens almost unanimously. So it begins with this thought, and then we begin to speak things that are not life-giving. Which leads us to that second guideline to guard our words, which is just never get historical. Just don't do it. It leads nowhere good. You know, this is so easy to do, but Jesus reminds us that when we come to him, when we sin, when we fall short, when we miss the mark, he says, hey, just come repent. I will, you know, throw it into the sea of forgetfulness. In fact, Micah 7:19 says it this way. Once again, you have compassion on us, God. You will trample our sins under your feet, throw them into the depths of the ocean. And so when we choose to pull up the past, once we've forgiven and moved on, essentially we're just negating what Jesus did. We're saying, you know what? It wasn't good enough. And when Jesus is saying, look, I went to the cross for your sins. And when you come to me, I don't remember them anymore. And in like manner, I need you to do that one to another so that you can have healthy relationships. You know, the enemy loves to bring up our past. And what happens with that is then we put in the backpack of shame and guilt, and it's almost like you have to relive the sin all over again. And that is what we do to one another when we bring up the past, when it's kind of under the blood of Jesus, if you will, and we have moved on, which leads us to kind of the third guardrail, which is never raise your voice. Proverbs 17:27 says it this way, a truly wise person uses few words. A person with understanding is even-tempered. Proverbs 16:32, better a patient person than a warrior, one with self-control than one who takes a city. Now, for those of you like myself at times, that may have a propensity to get heated or, you know, yell even in conflict or raise your voice to be heard. You know, I just have some practical challenges for you. And these are just some tips for things that have worked, right? They have happened. Not only do psychologists recommend them, but I've practiced them as a practitioner. And that really is to just call a timeout, right? Take a walk around the block. Practice some deep breathing techniques and just say, you know what, let's come back to this and come back with an appointed time. Do what you have to do so that you don't respond out of emotion or anger, because it will never lead anywhere good. You know, researchers from Psychology Today actually agree that hostile communications actually will drive people away. And so if you are trying to have reconciliation and having conversations that build trust and rebuild trust with one another, the last thing you want to do is yell and raise your voice. You know, wanting resolution, I used to fight, right? I'm kind of a person that wants to come to resolution. I hate having things kind of pending out there. I like to like close it. If we're going to go here, let's go here. And Jeremy would kind of, when I would do that, he would kind of retreat and he would leave the conversation. And, you know, thank goodness with marital counseling, we were always just, we're big like Jesus plus therapy people. And so we always want to go to the doctor before we need the doctor. And so we did some proactive marriage counseling to get some tools around communication because we recognize like, hey, we're not that good at this and we need to get better if we're going to go the distance. And so we did that. And what the counselor helped us with was kind of understanding, hey, Christina, you need to respect the fact that your husband processes differently. He needs some time to process, prepare, and come back to the conversation. And you need to not be so aggressive. At the same time, you as a planner who really needs resolution on issues so that you can just, you know, close out the window, if you will. Jeremy needs to respect the fact that you need to come back with a date and a time to resolve the issue. And so we didn't even realize this was kind of a vicious cycle that kept kind of us in a tailspin of conflict for a long time. And so, we had to do the hard work in order to agree to those terms. James 1:26 says, "Those who consider themselves religious and yet do not keep a tight rein on their tongues deceive themselves, and their religion is worthless." In fact, here's what you should do rather than that. Philippians 4:8. "Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, noble, right, pure, lovely, admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think on those things." And essentially saying, think on those things so that good things will come out of your heart and your mouth. You know, Albert Mehrabian's 7-38-55 rule, if you've ever heard of this in communications, but essentially just a reminder that 7% of the words when we communicate, only 7% of our words actually communicate. 38% is actually our tone and, the emotion behind it, right? And then also is 55% body language. And so I would all ask us this question. If that is true, what are we communicating that we don't think we're communicating, right? We think, oh, we're saying the right words, but what is our tone saying? What is our body language saying to our spouses? Because that's actually the full truth of what maybe might be going on under the surface. Dr. Les and Leslie Parrott actually say it this way. The tone of our truth-telling, because there's a time to have honest conversations, the tone of our truth-telling can either build a wall or build a bridge. And that is really all in the way that we say things. Rick Warren, a pastor and founder of Saddleback Church, as well as the author of Purpose Driven Life, actually gives us a framework, if you will, for kind of pausing before we respond. And he calls it think. The T is it truthful? What you're going to say, is it truthful? And is it going to help? Which is the H. Is it helpful? Or is it going to be harmful in this situation? Is it inspirational? Is it going to, and sometimes there are not things that are inspirational. It's more, hey, there's a hard truth that needs to be spoken, but the way that we speak it is really important. And so is it going to build the person up or is it going to attack the person? Is it necessary? Do I need to say this? And some things that are hard are necessary, but it's all in the way that we approach it and let it be wrapped in the K, which is kindness. Is it kind? Sometimes the kindest thing we can do is have an honest conversation and say hard things. If your spouse won't tell you that you have spinach in your teeth while you're eating dinner with friends, you got to work on some intimacy and some conversation because you've got to have a place. That relationship should be that place that you can have honest conversations. Hey, when you did this, it made me feel this way. And we should have concern for one another. So here's your challenge. The next time that you get into a heated conversation or argument, I want you just to stop and think and pray before you enter that conversation.
So good. She was preaching. No, along that too, just a note on what she was saying about communication, think about tone and body language. It makes me think about like so much of our communication now is via technology, right? Texts, emails, social media messages, and how often so much is missed in that. So always be mindful. In fact, I don't know where I heard it, but I once heard it once said, like, you know, especially if it's like heated or there's like tension, Be mindful of what you put into writing. In fact, I've even found this one's the best thing to do is say, hey, let's have a conversation about this. Because so much is missed and so much can be destructive, not constructive, in those moments. And one last thing I want to say is this. You heard Christina mentioned counseling. We are proponents of that. In the same way you go to a doctor for physical health, we believe it's important that you can be going great spiritually, but you need emotional and relational skills for your relationships and even yourself personally to experience all that God has for you. And oftentimes I found this in conversations with people. Oftentimes it is helpful to seek counseling before you think you need counseling. With that said, let's go to point three. Handle your anger righteously. Proverbs 19:11 says, a man's understanding or a woman's understanding makes them slow to anger. It is to their honor to forgive and forget a wrong done. It's to your honor to forgive and forget. It's actually wise to be slow to anger. Can I tell you this? Listen, what he is saying in this moment, do not fight every battle. Forget most of them. Come on. Don't fight over the toilet seat that's up. Don't fight on the toothpaste on the sink. Don't fight with the sock on the floor. Don't fight about the three cups in the bedroom. Don't fight all before 6 a.m. Come on, right? Choose your battles. Forgive. And I'm helping somebody right now. Come on. I'm feeling a little bit of Elsa. Let it go. Let it go. Come on. You need to let some things go in your marriage. I'm helping your marriage right now. Come on. You better be shouting down God's word in the chat room right now because that's good for somebody. But you need to just let go of some stuff. You cannot fight over everything. It reminds me in parenting, toddlers fight every battle. Come on, parents, you feel me. Like, you're already exhausted, and it's like not even noon because you had 37 battles with your child already over everything, right? You know, kids get up, they like, there's a battle over what to wear. There's a battle over what they're going to have for breakfast. Come on, cereal or oatmeal. Come on. You know, it's like, there's a battle. There's a battle over what socks to wear. There's a battle over what shoes to wear. It's constant, right? Listen, can I just encourage us? Let's not be toddlers when it comes to battles in our marriage. I don't mean to speak in a devalue or degrading way at all, but I'm just being honest. Like, learn to choose which battles to fight. Fight some battles. You need to have some battles you're going to go ahead and you're going to fight fair. But if you choose every one of them, you might get battle fatigue. And you may not have enough energy to actually fight the battles that actually are worth it. There are some things, even in our relationship, which we've just chosen, like, they are not that important to fight over. Like, they're just, we've learned to, as the scripture says, it's to our honor to forget some things. So do not fight every battle. Forget most of them. You know, Dr. Leslie Parrott, author of The Good Fight, says that failure to give or receive forgiveness probably accounts for nearly every marriage that does not endure. Can I tell you one other note? Not every battle's about you. That battle, that tension right now in that moment, it may have nothing to do with you. It may have been a hard meeting they had at work, a hard Zoom call they had at work that day. That battle may have nothing to do with you. It's because your kids were acting a little bit cray-cray. Come on, somebody. They skip nap. Come on. It may have nothing. That battle may have to do with the fact they had a hard conversation with their parents. It may have nothing to do with you. But be mature enough to even do some reflection. What maybe have gone on this week, today, that may be influencing their current state? Come on, let it go. Let it go.
Let it go. And it is okay to agree to disagree on some things, and then you don't need to talk about it anymore. Right? There are some things they're just not worth fighting over. So it is okay to agree to disagree.
let's go to this next one. This is Ephesians 4:26 and 27. Paul says this, in your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you're still angry, and do not give the devil a foothold. Note he says, in your anger, do not sin, meaning you will get angry. Like, you should have moments where you get angry. It's okay. but don't sin. Don't go to bed and give the devil a foothold. Here's the visual that I think of when I think about not giving the enemy a foothold. Going to bed angry at your spouse is like not just unlocking your doors, but opening your doors. Not just unlocking your windows, but opening your windows. And then putting signs on your front yard with bright lights saying, please come in, you're welcome. That's what we do to the enemy. In fact, I remember one particular time, I don't even remember what it was. That's how you know how really minute, but yet destructive arguments can be, because you don't even remember the details of it. But we had some tension. And we went to bed angry. Now, I only can think of this one moment. There may have been other moments, but there was this one moment. And we both woke up the next morning, and we had negative thoughts. We had negative dreams. And I felt that morning, I knew, as her husband, I allowed the enemy to get a foothold over the course of that evening. Can I encourage you? Listen, in those moments, don't allow it. Resolve it before you go to bed. Anger will come, but sin is a choice. Romans 12, this is my final scripture. The Apostle Paul, give context. He's speaking to a church in Rome who is facing persecution from the Roman government. They have killed their fellow brothers and sisters in Christ. They have threatened their lives. They are literally, the church at that point in Rome was meeting underground because of the overt persecution from the government. And here's one of Paul's sort of just notes to that church. He says this: do not repay anyone evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everyone, if it's possible, as far as it depends on you. Meaning you can't control your spouse. You can't. As far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone, especially those in your own home. Do not take revenge, my dear friends, but leave room for God's wrath. For it is written, it's mine to avenge. I will repay, says the Lord. On the contrary, if your enemy or your spouse is hungry, get them a sandwich. Come on, that's the Jeremy translation. I like sandwiches. If they are thirsty, give them something to drink. In doing this, you heap burning coals on his head. Now, we're going to get to that, because some of you read that. You're like, oh, yeah, burn them. No, we're going to get to that. Do not overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. That word, to heap burning coals on their head, it actually is an expression of generosity. But what happened that day was that they used coals to heat their home and to cook their food. So if your neighbor's coals went out, you would bring coals over and give to them in order to heat their home and cook their food. It was an act of generosity. What's Paul saying? We don't overcome evil. We don't overcome conflict. We don't overcome anger. We don't overcome frustration by responding out of that. No, we respond with good. That's how we overcome it. What's that look like practically? How do we overcome conflict? By doing good. We seek to understand before we respond. We allow God's word and God's spirit to guide us, not our emotions and our feelings. We choose to guard our words carefully. Come on, we don't use name calling. We don't become historical. We choose to speak life. Come on, we think, is it helpful? Is it kind? Is it gonna build up the words that we use? We choose to forget battles. Come on, don't engage in every single one. Forget the toothpaste on the mirror. Forget the sock on the floor. Forget some battles. And instead of pushing conflict off and going to bed angry, resolving conflict in healthy ways. Listen, when we fight fair, we make peace. And you are called to be a peacemaker, especially in your marriage. Dr. Gary Chapman says this: anger's fundamental purpose is to motivate us to positive, loving action that will leave things better than we found them. The anger, the frustration you feel in your marriage, you feel in that relationship, it's so that you will make that relationship better than it was before. I remember one particular time I don't remember what it was about again, but we had a disagreement, an argument, there was tension. And while we were going to bed, before we fell asleep, I felt prompted to pray with her. Now, I didn't feel like praying with her. I wanted to pray for her, be like, Lord, help her. She wrong.
Same here. Same here.
But I knew it was the Lord, and I prayed with her. Can I tell you, there's those 47 seconds. It was a short prayer. It wasn't anything elaborate. God did something. And I think it was that scripture that we didn't go to bed angry. we didn't allow the enemy to get a foothold in our marriage. What do? We overcame evil with good. We overcame evil with God. When you fight fair, you make peace. What's that look like? Looks like stop and listen carefully. Come on, seek to understand before you respond, allowing God's word to lead you, understanding what's actually happening in you in that moment. You're feeling frustrated or angry. It looks like guarding your words faithfully. Being mindful of those words that you're speaking. Don't use name-calling. Speak life. Speak words that are kind, that will build up. It means handling your anger righteously. Come on, overlooking some things. Not fighting every single battle and overcoming evil with good. Let me say one last thing before we pray. Christine's going to pray for us in just a moment for all of our couples. And maybe, again, you're not in a relationship, but just pray over your relationships that you would fight fair, that you would make peace. But there are some of you listening, and perhaps you've attempted to fight fair. You've attempted to do things in God's way. But maybe it's chronic conflict. Maybe it's pervasive. Maybe it's deep. Maybe there's been things that have been unfaithfulness. Maybe there's been things that have even been close to abuse. Can I tell you, you need to seek professional help. Seek professional help. What we shared today will help resolve kind of average conflicts all of us face. But there are some that are pervasive. There are wedges between you and your spouse that need more. And we just want to encourage you to seek professional help. And if there's any way that we can be of support to you, we want to do that for you. But before we close, we want to pray for two groups of people. First is over all of our couples in resolving conflict. And then second, I'm going to pray for those who either feel a desire to come into a relationship with Jesus for the first time or make a recommitment. Let's pray.
Yeah, if you're close to your spouse and you're able to grab a hand or at least take a seat a little closer, why don't you go ahead and do that now as we pray. Father, we just thank you for who you are. We thank you for, God, that there is so much hope, God, knowing that you are on our team, God. In fact, you called us on your team together. And we ask you, Lord, that would you teach us, God, teach us how to work side by side, shoulder to shoulder, God, in relationship with you. Father, that we would experience all that you had in mind in the garden when you put Adam and Eve together, Lord, that we would recreate, Father God, heaven on earth, Lord, in our relationships. And we ask you, Father, that you would teach us, God, that iron sharpens iron, God. Would you teach us how to be iron for one another, God? We know that all things are possible with you. And so we just rededicate ourselves and our marriages to glorifying you. And we invite you right into the middle of it. In Jesus' name, amen.
Well, hey, church, I want to pray with one more group. If you're here, I want to pray with all of you, but especially if you're here and you need to surrender your life to Jesus. Or maybe you're feeling a leading by His Spirit to recommit your life to Him. I want you to pray this with me, just right where you are. Say, Lord Jesus, thank you for loving me. Thank you for going to the cross and giving your life for me. I believe you rose again. I confess you're Lord of my life. I ask that you lead me and you guide me in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Come on, Catalyst family, give it up. Show some love for all those who made that decision today. If you made that decision, text the word faith to 94,000. Love to send you a resource to help you grow in your faith. Also, join our Foundations of Faith course on our groups page. It's a great way for you to grow in your faith or join another group. It's a great way for you to grow in this season. We're so excited for you and so honored you made that decision today.